Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest-running Dynasty-focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week, we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict.
Russin Rocky.
Other names. Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Justin Rogers, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Matt Price, and I definitely have a trading problem.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to session 173 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts and a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will.
And we will.
I can get my fist in front of the freaking camera. as you heard in the opening there, Russ is not here tonight. He's all worn out, I guess, from the expo, partying too hard. Because you know Russ, that party animal. So I got one of my favorite guys to podcast with here, Justin Rogers from Dynasty Hot Sauce Podcast. Justin, how you doing tonight?
Man, I am doing pretty well here. I've switched from the couch to the bed, and now I'm just lounging still here.
Yeah, Justin always podcast laying on the couch. He's laying on the bed. It threw me off when he popped in the stream.
I need a change of scenery.
I guess so. And we have a great guest this week, Matt Price, the zookeeper himself from DLF Podcasts, co-host of Mayan on Dynasty Game Night, because it's obviously now my podcast, Matt. So, Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And Rocky, for those watching at home, not necessarily just listening, I'm glad to see that you're still working on evading that sniper. It's still working out for you.
Matt always loves to make fun of my microphone. I got the little red dot.
Just looks like he's in trouble. Together. It looks like he's really in trouble.
I haven't been shot yet, though. So
that right there is a feat in itself.
Yeah, so the expo was this past week, like I mentioned, and unfortunately none of the three of us got to go. Was that intentional on your guys' part, or did you want to go and you couldn't, or?
I never really, like, back in January, February, I was like, oh yeah, I want to go, and then it kind of fizzled because I had so much going on this summer that it was going to be probably too taxing to try and squeeze this in as well, so I scrapped it.
I'm sorry, Matt, you go.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I planned on going. Like, I actually planned on last year before it got canceled, obviously, because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And then this year it was like the week before that weekend was the only week I could get this family vacation where I got my parents and all of my brothers and their kids, the grandkids, basically together in one spot. It was the first time we've ever done that. So just didn't work out this year. But definitely planning on being there next year. Definitely had a lot of jealousy, I guess, of all of the fun that was had. So looking forward to it next season.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was jealous as well, but it was still kind of cool though to see a lot of the people I know, you know, and all these different pictures and stuff.
Yeah,
it was like a bittersweet a mix of jealousy and oh, that's kind of cool. So
yeah, I was just living vicariously through all the Twitter photos. I was like, look, there's that's nice.
Yeah, as a guy said, Russ sent me a picture of him and Andrew Hall, my co-host on Junkies, together. I was like, jealous of both of them. One thing I wanted to get into, the preseason is here. This was our first, we had the Hall of Fame game last week, but this was our first full slate. It's kind of exciting, just because it means, you know, really means football's back, full slate of games. But does it mean anything? You know, there's a lot of people, you know, putting stuff on Twitter about who played when and what they did and all this stuff. My personal opinion, I don't really care about the preseason. I barely watch any of it, actually. The games don't mean much to me. Even who's running with the ones and the twos and all that stuff, I think is overrated. You know, the production obviously doesn't mean anything. There's vanilla game plans and all that thing, both offense and defense. So I don't think you can take a ton away from what anybody does. But what do you guys think? Does preseason matter at all?
Matt, go ahead.
I think I put a little bit more value in it than you do. Even if we know that they're playing against vanilla defense and stuff, it's nice to see what, you know, a player could do in the absolute ideal scenario. You know, nobody's really necessarily, I guess I shouldn't say nobody. I'm sure somebody's taking away something from, you know, like, for example, the Ramondre Stevenson's 90-yard touchdown, right? Like, obviously he had a giant hole and playing against a vanilla defense, all that stuff, playing late in the second half, all those things are true. But it's nice to see what a player is capable of in certain scenarios. And, you know, those things are going to catch the coach's eye, I think. So for me, it's about watching the young guys. It's not at all about watching the veterans, you know, unless maybe they're coming back from injury or something like that, and just making sure, you know, just checking that box, like, yep, they're okay. But for me, it's watching those end of the roster guys that, you know, may not be important to us this season, but just names to remember and kind of file those in our memory banks for things for seasons down the line, you know. So I put a little more stock into it. I like to watch those young guys and see what they are capable of.
And yeah, I guess we can have three different opinions here, because I could give a crap about the production and the players specifically game. Like, I don't watch the games either, Rocky, just barely. I might catch a smidge here and there. I'm just not going to tune in and watch a bunch of preseason football. But right. I will check usage rates and how players were used with the first team offense after, you know, post game. I want to see who's taking snaps and, you know, what their role might be. You know, were they in on third downs, that kind of thing. So, yeah, we're somewhere all over the place with that one.
And, yeah, see, I think in some cases that can be – like, I know on Twitter, at least, I saw that some people were making a big deal that Malcolm Brown started the game over Myles Gaskin, and that means Gaskin is, you know, in trouble now. And I mean, for all we know, you know, Malcolm Brown's new to the team. Maybe they just wanted to see how he picks up the, you know, you don't know what the coaches are thinking. You may want to see maybe how he's picking up the protections, picking up the offense, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I just feel like even that, you can't really tell what the coaches are trying to do. So I even tend to I mean, unless a guy is playing in like the third or fourth quarter of the game where the starters play the most, then maybe I'll put some stock in that. And he didn't play the whole first half or something like that. I'm not even sure how that works now with only the three games. I know before it always used to be the third game. I guess maybe the second game will be the one where we see the starters the most. But yeah.
I'm curious to see how that goes as well. Like, are they still going to keep the same format and use the third game, like the last game now being a junk game? Or are they going to still have that as the dress rehearsal and just not have the – fourth junk game? I want to know how that goes.
And
right,
and that's true. They might do that because I think like the third game is still at the same time it was. There's just a longer break before the season. Correct.
Yeah. That's right.
But yeah, the only two things I really kind of take from it is if somebody gets injured, that's obviously important, and just if anybody else is going to, you know, do these value bumps off, you know, like the Ameer Abdullah run, the infamous Ameer Abdullah run we all talk about in the preseason. If that, then I like to take advantage of that. So I keep aware of what's going on, but I don't really put that much stock into it unless other people are putting stock into it and I can take advantage of that, basically.
Yeah.
So we'll do also the one piece of news before we get to the listener questions here, which was I think it happened almost a week ago, but it's been since the last podcast, which was Rashad Bateman getting surgery in his groin, which sucked to see. It was a guy I definitely wanted to see. Justin has a tear running down his cheek. Yeah, me too. And he's definitely a guy I wanted to see how he was going to do early on. You know, in that Ravens system, you know, will the talent trump the situation there? But does this affect anything from a dynasty perspective? I mean, he's supposed to be back in September, but it definitely, I think, could affect a lot of his 2021 season, you know, getting off to, you know, not getting the reps now, not getting reps early in the season. So what do you think, Matt?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we were already lower as a community on him just because of the landing spot. He certainly, you know, in limited videos or workout videos and things like that, we saw him making nice plays and practices and things like that. But again, like you said, how much stock do we put in that? So if anything, this injury gives you even more of a discount on a very good player. You're still going to have the same volume issues, the same thing that we were concerned about before. But maybe now you get him for even a little bit cheaper than we were in our rookie draft. So he's a player that I'm definitely interested in, somebody that I don't have a lot of, mostly because when I'm in that situation rookie drafts in that later first round range, I'm taking like Rondale Moore, Elijah Moore almost every time. He's someone that I'm definitely afraid that I'm going to miss out on. I definitely missed out a lot on AJ Brown for similar reasons. You know, we had these volume concerns about him as well. And we know how that story turned out. So if anything, I think you use this injury news to get a little bit of a value, you know, a little bit of discount on him if you are looking to buy and someone else is maybe a little worried about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to say about an injury, but it's almost a good thing in that way for dynasty managers is that,
if you're interested in buying him, for sure, you know. And it might even pay off where you wait for the team that has him that goes 0-1 and just needs the production, and then you sweep in there and offer him somebody completely inferior and getting Bateman for that short-term boost that team might think they need because they want to compete or whatever, you know, like – we're not limited to making trades for these guys right now. Like it's something that we can like put in the back of our minds and go, okay, well, we're coming up on something that might affect his value even more for the team personally, you know, like the whoever is managing him.
Yeah. I think that's the one move to take out of this is maybe try and trade for Bateman. If not now, early in the season. I guess we'll do the listener questions first, and then we'll go to the trade addict straight. We actually ended up with quite a few this week after not having a lot coming into today. Me and Russ put the call out to all the leagues, and it apparently worked in a couple of them anyway. So from FF Trader Joe, knew Matt was coming on and wanted to ask, who are some of your waiver targets right now, and what percentage of FAB would you spend to acquire them? The reason we are all laughing is Matt and myself, actually, and Joe are all in Red List 3, which currently has a free agent auction that started today, which are basically all waiver type options. You know, everybody is owned, or the rookie draft is rookie auction has already happened. So it's all those kind of type of guys. So Joe's basically trying to get Matt to, and maybe me to reveal what we're thinking in this auction here. So you willing to give some names, Matt?
Yeah, I'll give a few. I think we have, again, you know, who knows how much preseason matters, but, you know, you have to put that together with like the steady positive news that we have coming out of camps about players. And one of them's got to be, I think, Clez Watkins for the Eagles. You know, Devontae Smith has this injury. We have Jalen Reagor there, but, you know, what else is there behind him? I don't think anybody has any faith in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside or any of these other guys behind them. So Clez Watkins has at least made some noise, and he offers a little bit of speed, something different than most the other receivers on there, you know, maybe outside of Reagor. So he'd be somebody that I'd be interested in. As far as like percentage, man, I don't know. I'm someone who holds my, in general, I'm somebody who holds my FAB until there's the obvious play in the season where it might change something. You know, about Mike Davis last year, you know, players like that, where it's clear that I'm just going to drop the hammer and put everything I have on him. So I don't know about percentage for a guy like Clez Watkins. You know, currently in Red List 2, I can tell you the auction right now, we have a $1,000 FAB budget for this auction that also gets used for the rest of the season. And he's going for $900 out of that $1,000 budget right now. I'm not sure if I would go that high.
Yeah, that seems a little high.
Yeah. Some other targets I would throw out, Quadri Ellison, who with the Falcons, again, the backup to Mike Davis, the news came out that he's the quote-unquote the true backup. If you put any stock into what the coaches are saying this time of year, someone who I've been interested in the past, and it's a, you know, it's kind of an unsettled backfield, especially behind Mike Davis, but maybe even including Mike Davis if he comes out and disappoints. Jake Funk and Xavier Jones over with the Rams, you know, we don't know necessarily what's happened with Daryl Henderson. He's probably the guy, but he has an injury history himself, so somebody behind him may have some value, and they haven't really looked to bring anybody in just yet. So I think I'll stop there. The two LA guys and Allison, Allison and Watkins.
I'll give one that a lot of people have already picked him up, but I know I've seen him. He's at least in the Red List 3 auction. Marquez Callaway, if he's still in your waiver wire, if you're in the shower league, that's a guy I love. I even in the off season with my 30 plus leagues, I tend to ignore the waiver wire 90% of the time. I did manage to get a couple, pick him up in a couple places where I did actually take the time to use the waiver wire. But he's a guy I really like. He showed a little bit last year with Michael Thomas out. They basically got, you know, nothing there besides Kamara. So it's basically him and Deontay Harris and Traquan Smith, who's never done anything. So he was the one name that popped in my mind when I saw this question. And again, I'm with you. I can't really put a percentage on it. I guess maybe 50, something like that. I like to also kind of hold it just, you know, I'm willing to spend it all preseason if there's a guy I definitely think like is going to be a starter or something like that. That, like you said, the obvious name that it's clear I want to put all my money on this guy. But there's no one in my mind right now. I mean, Callaway's a guy I like, but he's still not the one I want to, you know, necessarily spend all 200 of my 200 fab or whatever it is. Any names you have? I'm sorry, Matt, did you have something?
Oh, no. I was just going to say that, you know, I'm like you, like, if there's a weakness in my fantasy game, dynasty game, it's waivers. Like it's something, unless there's a clear, obvious name that isn't already on somebody's roster, I'm most of the time going to take that extra 2 hours or whatever that I would spend on waivers for, you know, my 15 or whatever leagues that I'm in this season and use that time elsewhere, like for trading, for example, right?
Yeah.
I feel like the time is better invested in things like that for me personally. But for those guys that are grinding the waiver wires like every single week, I mean, more power to you. You are certainly going to unearth more gems than players like Rocky and I. I just really think the best advice is save it for the hammer, you know, like, unless you just have a clear need somewhere and you just need to fill in a roster spot, a line spot, or something like that. Wait for the guy that is obvious. Because when we play in these leagues with 25, 30 plus rosters, there's just not really anybody out there that's going to make a huge difference in most cases, unless you just have some, you know, prospect that you're some deep rookie prospect or something that you have an affinity for and want to get on your roster or something like that. So,
yeah. And at that point, you probably don't have to spend much money, you know, if you've got someone really, really deep. A couple names that kind of stood out for me. I mean, thanks for stealing Quez Watkins right off the top there. He's like the easy name because he's generated so much buzz and he's out there everywhere, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
Like Byron Pringle was a name that kind of popped a little bit, and with that number two spot wide open, I don't trust Mecole Hardman as far as I can throw him. So I'll just add Byron Pringle on the cheap and see what happens. I mean, he had that one blow up game a year or two ago, whatever. I had another one. Oh, Ty Johnson from the Jets. He's another easy, cheap ad that you might end up getting some flex play out of him, especially in deep leagues. Percentage wise is hard because if you have a 12 team league, you're going to have more players available on the wire later in the season. But if you got a 14 or 16 team, 30 man roster, you know, you might as well just blow everything now because there's not going to be hardly anything available. I mean, it's like if they're on a roster, they're like on an NFL roster, they're on a fantasy roster at this point. So it gets really, really, really ugly, you know, by week 7 or 8 in a deep league like that. So it's really hard. I mean, if we're just talking like 12 team, you know, keeping it kind of standard, like 12 team, 28 man roster, then it's easy. But everyone's settings are so much different that, you know, there's just no standard percentage.
Yeah, but, and I was going to mention that to what both of you said, actually, is I think we're giving pretty deep names here. I think most of us here playing in deep leagues. Most of my leagues tend to be – I'm in a lot of 12s. I'm in some 14s. I don't think I'm in a 16. But most of mine are 28, 30, 32, 34-man rosters. So, yeah, everybody's pretty much owned at this point, which is why, like Matt said, I – where waiver wire is kind of where I slack off, because 99% of the guys you pick up are the waiver wire even in a 12 man, 30 team, 30 player roster with taxi on a lot of them, are not ever going to amount to anything more than maybe a 1 week start if you're lucky. So, Nick Martinez in the chat did ask, do you aim for RBs or wide receivers more at this point while scouring the waiver wire, or do you not really think about it that way?
I don't really think. sorry.
So nobody, sorry. Go ahead, man. Nobody was saying anything, so yeah, I figured I had to say a name. I just left it to you, too, and nobody said anything.
I don't think it really matters. I mean, I guess if I had to lean towards one, it's running back, just because it seems easier to determine their role if they are going to have a role, and they're, you know, so much more scarce than the wide receiver position. But, you know, at this point, I think before we get to the season, you're doing one of two things. You're either just scooping value where you can, whatever the position is, or you're looking to fill in holes on your roster. So, I would lean towards running back, but I mean, not a strong preference at all.
Yeah, I tend to go running back off the waiver wire, just because, like Matt said, it's easier to define their role. You know, if you can, you'll know better when to start them is the better answer for me. Like, if you catch the fourth wide receiver on a team and someone goes down, you really don't know if they're about to scoop up 6-7 targets. But if you catch the fourth running back and a couple injuries happen, you can almost say, okay, this guy is starting this week. I'm going to get 15 touches from him. He's at least worth the start, you know? So it just makes it easier when you're trying to determine your starting lineup. Now, best ball is a whole other story, but if you're just doing, you know, lineup setting leagues, the running back is just the easier position to plug and play.
Yeah, I basically agree with you guys. I mean, I actually don't tend to think about it. I don't really think about it by position. When I do take the time to do waivers, I just look to see if anybody I think has some upside or a chance to be anything, and it doesn't really matter what position it is. So I don't really target any specific position when I'm doing waivers, unless, like we said earlier, unless there's some obvious guy, like the top two running backs on a team go down and the third string guy happens to be on the waiver wire or something like that. So we'll move to the next question from Jorge Martin 17. What do you think? I guess this goes back to our preseason question. What do you think of the rookie QB's performances over the weekend? And does that make you want to draft them in Superflex redraft leagues? Justin, I'll let you go first this time.
This is the one position where I think it's different than, you know, a running back getting 6 carries for 31 yards or whatever. Like, it's just so small. But when you see Justin Fields going out there going 14 to 20 for 142 and a TD and running, man, it's hard not to take something away from that. And, you know, Trey Lance's passing line wasn't great, but he had 4 drops from his wide receivers. So going 4-15 doesn't look as bad if 3 of those guys even catch it. You know, he's 7-15 and he's got some yards and he was pretty dynamic with the ball. So, I mean, I think there's some people that are down on that stat line if you didn't know what the context of it was. I think that matters more for quarterbacks. So it felt like all the rookies kind of played fine. So, yeah. But as far as like the specifics of the question, would you want to draft them in Superflex redraft league? So you're just worried about a 2021 season. I don't know that Zach Wilson is my guy, and I'm still nervous about putting any stock in Mac Jones as anything more than a game manager. So both those guys kind of strike me as that. So I don't know if the value was there, but Fields and Lance, I'm all in.
What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't play in a ton of redrafts, so I'll just throw that out there right away. Scott Fishbowl, a couple of other ones, maybe a work league here and there. So I'm not playing in a ton of them, and most of them aren't going to be super flex anyway. But I don't know if it makes me want to draft them more than I did before. I think I kind of always wanted to draft the guys with the legs, you know, Trey Lance and Justin Fields. Like, we don't know if they're going to start right away, but if they do and you get them in that, you know, after outside of the quarterback one range, I think you're probably going to have a quarterback one with those guys just based on your legs. So if you draft them to be like your third quarterback in a redraft league, you know, even if you have to draft them before your quarterback two, then I think that's completely worth it. I have no idea what their redraft ADP is right now in those kind of leagues. But yeah, I want to take a chance on all of those guys just as an upside play. You know, if I come out with a top 10 quarterback, and then invest in a guy later, like, I don't know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Sam Darnold, you know, these guys towards the bottom of our quarterback list as my quarterback two to play until we have these two guys start and they can take over. I absolutely am on board with that.
Yeah. And I basically reiterate exactly what you said, man. I don't play in any Superflex. Almost every dynasty league I'm in is Superflex, but I don't play any Superflex redraft league.
That is not true. You just drafted one in July.
What? A super Scott Fishbowl. Other than that, that's it. Not taking any of the rookies in that draft, by the way. But yeah, I wouldn't mind taking a shot on one of them late. You know, I don't know. Again, I don't know how late they're going in redraft leagues. But yeah, with the, you know, not knowing when most of them are going to start and hating Zach Wilson anyway, so I don't care that he's going to start. I'm not that interested in drafting them in redraft leagues, but yeah, I mean, I guess the performances are encouraging. Like I said, I don't put a lot of stock in it on what we see in a preseason game, but it's better. I mean, it's better to see them do well than to do bad. And pretty much all of them did fairly well. Like you said, the only one who had a bad stat line was Lance, and I've seen in like 10 different places about how he had 4 drops. So it wasn't as bad as it looked. So
yeah. Well, I like the fact that the teams were opening up for those two guys, for Fields and Lance. They were like, all right, get it, you know, pitch it around. You know, the Lance threw that deep ball, beautiful deep ball. I don't know if you've seen highlights. And then Fields was rolling out and, I mean, making plays. It was really good to see. I mean, I'm just watching little highlights and stuff. I couldn't stand to watch a whole game right now.
It's funny. But the one guy we haven't, I think, mentioned is the Trevor Lawrence, the 101
Super
Flex leagues.
He's like, oh, he's good. Okay.
Yeah.
I just assumed he was being drafted at a reasonable price in redraft leagues. But obviously he's a target. I just think that once you get past like, I don't know, Tua, I don't know what, again, I don't know what he is in redraft, but right now Tua is the quarterback 17 in Dynasty. And like, once you get past that point, like, I mean, the upside with these other guys are just not there. Like, are you really, do you, just with their legs, those top guys that we're talking about, I think they have more upside. The guys like Baker Mayfield and Carson Wentz and Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan and all these guys, like, I just think the ability to put up points on the board is probably a little bit higher than those guys. So why not take a chance?
They're easy points. You know, it's not like you, like they can run for 10 yards and get a point, you know, and these guys are capable of putting on a lot more than a 10 yard run together. So, you know, if they can bust off a 25 yarder, you're like, hey, that's a little swing for me, you know?
And like you said, Matt, you could draft those guys in that, you know, 16, 17, 18 range if they're still there, and probably get Ben as like QB 20 or Fitzpatrick, he's QB 25 or something like that.
Yeah.
And make it until they start, you know, because I think we're pretty, other than maybe Mac Jones, I think all of these guys are starting at some point this year. Yeah. So, okay. So we'll go into some bum named at Dynasty FF Addict asked this question. I actually put this on here because it came up in the heck just happened there. You guys switched on my screen. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, me
anyway.
Too.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It blinked off and then like literally blinked off and on. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure the people listening in podcast form are thrilled to hear about that. And it came up in the Cool Kids Club today, the you know, plug for the Trade Addicts Patreon, the group chat that we have. And Justin was involved in this discussion. I had thrown out a trade there. Maybe we can even get into that as well. But the discussion actually ended up being because one side had a 22 second and one side had a 23 first in it. And somebody who was commenting on whether they liked the trade or not had said the 22 second is basically equal to a 23 first in value, which I've definitely heard that, you know, kind of old adage before where you go round up, you know, the next year if you have to wait a year on it. So I wanted to just get your guys' thoughts on especially, I think it's interesting with this class, these two classes too, because everyone seems to, I've been in Dynasty Twitter since 2018, and that's when I really got heavy in, you know, 20, 30 leagues. And the only other class I heard this about, the way people are talking about 2023, is that 2020 class. And that pretty much ended up right. I was hearing about that when I first got into this in 2018, and that was 2 years out. And then people ended up being right. So it looks like 2023 is going to be really, really good. So does that first, just in general, I want to get, Matt, what is your thoughts on valuing a second a year earlier versus a first year later, and does the supposed strength of the class that we're talking about change your mind?
Yeah, I guess I do typically go back to that old school of thought of just that you take a year off a round off as you go up in years away from the draft. So I do think that the strength of the class matters, but I also think we're not always great at predicting the strength of those classes. We weren't that excited about 2019, but we got an awful lot of good receivers out of the 2019 class. You know, I can understand. I think like a lot of things in Dynasty, and people hate when I say this because, you know, it's not really a great answer, but it depends. Like, I think everything in Dynasty depends on the state of your roster. If you're a team that, you know, is not planning on needing a 2022 second at all, sure, trade it for a 23 first if you can do that. If you're 2 years out or 3 years out, even, or if you're even if a contending team this year, but you don't think that you're going to be a contending team in 2 years, those situations. So I think in general, just based on, you know, the hype of the market value of these two classes right now, not necessarily the actual value of what's going to happen with these two classes. I think the 23 first is absolutely more value. We've seen that. And I've seen that in a couple of startups over the last few weeks. We did a contract chaos league that Ryan McDowell and Dan Myler are running right now. And 23 first, we're going for way more value than a 2022 second. So, or even a 2022 first. So, yeah, I think it just depends on the state of your roster and what you're trying to do. But I don't think there's a wrong answer necessarily either way. I mean, what if the 2022 second ends up being the 201 and the 23 first? It's a lot harder to project 2 years out. What if that ends up being the 112? Are they really that much different? So I think it just depends on the state of your roster.
I made this argument in the, because I was involved in the discussion. If you're on the clock with the 201 in 2022, don't you think you can grab a 23 first for it? Or vice versa, if you have that 23 first, don't you think you can trade that at any time for that 201? I mean, in my opinion, that 23 first is always going to maintain more value than the 23 second. I mean, the 22 second. And so if you take that 23 first now, if you want back into the second round next year, that's easy money. You can do it. But you're not locked into it. You can get an eval of the team going into that season. You can go, okay, well, this actually looks better. And the other argument I made was the ceiling for that second rounder is the 201. The ceiling for that first rounder is the 101. And you just never know. So there's while it could be the 112, you could always, if you go, that team looks pretty good, I'm going to dump this first for this early second this year, you can do that. I mean, it's almost guaranteed that you can trade a current second for a future first. So I just take the first, and if I want to make the move, I can. If I want to hold that through the draft and get into 2022, I bet I get a better player from that first than I do in the second round of a rookie draft. You know, so if yep. I need the production, I'm going to get better production out of that 23 first than I am that 22 second.
Yeah, that was a really good point that was made in the chat today. Is that, and I hadn't even thought about it that way. That if you if you're thinking that, oh, well, I'm getting the production a year earlier, I'm getting to at least see how the guy does in 2022. I mean, yeah, if in the 2022 draft, you could probably, even at that time, you could probably get more for a 2023 first than you can get for a 2022 second. If you want to trade it for a current player, you're probably going to get more, even for a first a year from now, than you are going to get in that current year's draft second, even maybe if it's the 201.
Yeah, I mean, look at the guys that are being traded for first round picks, just first round picks. Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, those guys are going for solo firsts right now. You know, you're not getting that at the 201 of a rookie draft. You know, certainly not with that kind of, you know, security in the role of their team. You know, you're looking at drafting guys, and you end up with Keyshawn Vaughn or Zach Moss. You know, like that's the kind of guys that you end up with trying to reach for that scoring player, that early scoring player.
Okay, so yep. two other questions I want to ask you guys, because with Nick asked one again in the chat, which was looking at it, we could look at it this year and say, would you pay a 2022 first for Rondale Moore or Elijah Moore or another 2021 second round player?
Yeah, possibly.
Yes. You know, I absolutely would.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were saying, Matt, that you were looking to take either of those guys late in the first this year anyway. Yeah. So, but do you think if you had a 22 first that you could make that move and someone would give you more, either the Moores? Like if you didn't have,
I don't know for sure, but I don't think so. I think you have, you take your bird in the hand, especially the way, you know, all of the hype with Elijah Moore in camp and the way that Rondale Moore played in the first preseason game. I know it was limited targets and stuff like that, but I think the hype for him is quite a bit higher than the 2022 class, even if it's an undetermined range of that first round pick. So, I guess that's how I feel. I don't think I could get Rondale Moore for, but maybe I'm using my own personal bias on that because I like both of those players.
Yeah, I feel like if you were on the clock during the rookie drafts and you were at the 201, 202, and if someone was on the clock at the 201, 202 and you wanted to trade a 22 first for that, you could have done it. Maybe not now because of some of the hype, but at the time you could have made that move in a heartbeat, you know? People were just going, oh gosh, more wide receivers, more early second round wide receivers. You know, because for every T. Higgins, there's, you know, 10 Michael Pittmans and Denzel Mims along the way. You know,
hey now.
I was just thinking as you were saying that, Justin, because you agree with that. That's sort of interesting. Like, that's, I'm sort of making your point that the 2023 first you could use to buy a 2022 second, but it isn't, it's also sort of equating that the two are close though as well, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. I think what I'm saying is if you're really desperate to get back in the 22 second, it's easy money. I would rather hold the pick anyway because I wouldn't normally do that. I did it for T. Higgins last year, so I will say that. I traded my 2021 first for T. Higgins, basically. I got back in there and drafted him. But for the most part, I won't do that. You know.
So when you said you would pay first 22 first for Rondale Moore or Elijah Moore, is that because of the players or the 22 class or –
I think it's probably the 22 class, and I'm assuming that if I'm buying either of those guys, I'm trying to compete, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not selling my first if I think it's going to be a non-playoff first. Not at all. Not even close. Like, I've got a league where I've got five firsts, and three of them are non-playoff, and every time I go to make an offer for a player, I'm like, I'm not moving one of those guys for this player. And like, one of these three firsts right here, I'm not moving one of those. Because any of those could be somewhere from 103 to 106, that kind of range. It's like, I'd rather hold on to these. Right. But if I'm looking at, like, the 111, if I think I'm anywhere 109 later, whatever, I'm okay with doing it. You know?
I think it also depends on what you, I mean, if you're flexible and like, you know, that you're probably going to trade that first, that makes a lot of sense. But if you're somebody who, you know, your team is just not competing and you know that you are, you're not going to be competing for 2 years. And now I've got to wait, you know, let's say the rookie year is in 23, I've got to wait till 2024 to really get any production out of that guy. So I just think you have to know how, like the state of your team and where, when you're competing and when you're not, to, if you're not planning on moving that, if you are completely open to moving that, but I know guys that aren't, they're like holding on, I'm going to make that pick no matter what. Well, right. So
we are on the trade addict podcast.
So
I'm assuming that almost all my picks are going to be moved. Like, I love to move picks when they're on the clock. I mean, it's one of my favorite things, unless it's just a surefire, like, okay, I got the 101. I had the 101 and the 103 in the league this year. Took the 101, and I also had the 107, 110. I didn't make any of those later picks. I didn't make the 103, the 107, or the 110. You know, I think I traded back once and got some extra, you know. But I love to wheel and deal on the clock, whether it's a startup or a rookie draft. So, you know, I'm all in on moving picks.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, you know. Hashtag trade addicts. So the other question that this brought to mind for me is, would either of you move, because I know people have talked about doing this, would you move a 22 first for a 23 first because of the classes?
I'm not doing
random,
that.
Random, not knowing what, like, if you can assume they're totally random.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. I don't think that they're, like, I think you can get players in the first round of any draft. It's when you get deeper into drafts that kind of gets sketchy, you know? Like, if you traded your 2019 for a 2020 and you missed out on Metcalf, A.J. Brown, you know, and I still like Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, and you ended up with Cam Akers, you know, how are you feeling right now? You know, if you ended up with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, are you just jumping through the roof or are you like, oh, crap, you know, I hope he does something. You know, like, it's one of those where everyone says that this class is going to be better, but every year there's talent in the first round of a rookie draft.
I agree with that a lot. I think a lot of people this year were saying this was, and I agree to some extent, this was a sort of a shitty draft, but that was mostly because of a lack of depth. After a certain point in this, even in Superflex, at a certain point in the second round, it was just like it fell off a cliff.
Right.
But I really like most of the guys. I mean, we'll see how they pan out, but I like most of the guys that are generally have first round ADPs as rookies. So you agree with what Justin said there, Matt?
I wouldn't look to make that move unless I was on the clock. You know, I want to know who is available at my 2022 first round pick before I would commit to making that move. I would not make that move now. I would absolutely wait till I'm on the clock because, you know, maybe the player that I covet in the 2022 class falls to me, whatever pick that might be, or maybe they don't. Maybe it's a situation like in – oh gosh, I'm playing this game so long I can't remember all the classes, but like maybe just 2018, where like if we get down to the 110 to 112 and there's just like literally no one that I care about in that range, then I might make that move then. But that's usually my limit. Like if I'm outside of like the top 7 to 8 players, especially in a super flex format, you know, I want to know what my option is before I go ahead and deal that pick and put off potential production another year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you both on that, and I agree. I would not trade a random 22 first for a random 23 first. I do want the earlier pick, especially like Justin said in the first round. It's a lot different than you know, like we were talking about second versus a first. No matter what the class is.
Yeah.
Well, except maybe 2017. Wasn't 2017 that year that everybody like it was just bust?
I think that was 16.
I think 17 was McCaffrey.
Yeah, that was McCaffrey, Cook, Mixon.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It was
16 was Elliott and a bunch of crap
and a bunch of junk.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I think 18.
I would say 18 was Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, that
was that was 19. Yeah. 18 was 19? Chubb, Michelle, Rojo. That class where it was like it was either you really did or there was no in between.
Yeah,
so it was like an up and down first round. Darius Geis, yeah. There's some names on that first round.
I remember that 2016 one because I had the 101 in that draft that I traded for in a home league because I wasn't even like I said I didn't really get into Dynasty Twitter until 18. So this was a home league and I got Elliott and I remember I think I had the 112 too and I took Paul Perkins or something like that because it was so bad. It was like Kenneth Dixon and yeah, there was a lot of crap in that draft.
Yeah,
2014 Bishop Sankey.
Yeah. That, yeah,
2014. If you didn't get a wide receiver, you were hosed.
Like, that was it. Yes,
that was the year. Yeah, of the Bishop wide
Sankey was the first RB drafted in that draft, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So that'll bring us into the Trade Addicts trades now. As I said, I had to give a shout out to TA9, the newest Trade Addicts league, because. As of this morning, we had 2 trades on the show sheet, and we put it out to all the leagues. You know, me and Russ will often do this, usually Russ, but this I did it in some of the leagues because I was hosting tonight, where we'll say, you know, we only have a couple trades for the show. Start trading, people. And
the boys and girls got to work.
Yes, they ended up with the 5 trades just today. So I had to shout, especially Ryan Tressler, who was, I don't know if he's still in there, was in the chat earlier in particular. He's, I think, got half of these 6 trades. So, and he generally does every week. He'll at least throw out offers when we say that if it's been a slow week. So shout out to Ryan, shout out to TA9. But we'll start with the non-TA9 trades. The one was in TA1. Just a reminder, as always, 12-team PPR Superflex, 1.75 tight end premium for every league except TA1 has 0.05 per return yard. Anyway, TA1 trade, Henry Ruggs and a 2023 second for Odell Beckham. What do you think, Matt?
I think it's Beckham in almost every scenario unless you are not competing in the next 2 years. I mean, that's really, I guess that's it for me because I still believe in Beckham as a talent and he's got, you know, we still see these elite level receivers produce into the 30s. Talk about Julio, talk about Adam Thielen, even, you know, Antonio Brown, I think is going to have a big season. So if we think that Beckham is still an elite talent, then I think it has to be that side unless you just have no chance of competing.
And see, I don't even like Odell anymore. Like, I used to love Odell, as everybody did, but I gave up on him a while ago. So I don't even like him, and I would still take the Beckham side in this because I also don't believe in Ruggs at all.
Yeah, but that's Henry Ruggs on the other side.
Yeah, I didn't like him coming out. You know, everybody talked about bad profile, all that stuff. Analytically, and he didn't, and nothing to change anybody's mind this year. Yeah. 23 second.
The one things I would say about Ruggs is that I think that, I mean, this is totally narrative street, I guess, or what you want to call it. But I think that John Gruden is such a stubborn coach, he's going to want to make that pick work. Like, everybody criticized him for that Ruggs pick. You know, maybe he's going to just feed him the ball this year. But outside of Waller, you know, there's not really any other reliable target. So I think it's possible, but I'm not going to take a bet on it.
Yeah,
I agree. And I just think he's one of those classic, you know, what we hear on podcasts, that guy's going to be a lot better for his NFL team than he's going to be for fantasy football. Thinking about this, though, what do you guys think of – because he is a guy I had a lot of hope for on the Raiders as well, Bryan Edwards. He's not involved in any of these trades, but it just made me think of him as we were talking about Ruggs. Justin, you have any hope for Bryan Edwards going forward? Or
I was like – I was a Bryan Edwards fanboy last offseason.
Me too.
I don't know that there's going to be anybody relevant outside of Darren Waller in that receiving game, at least for now. I don't know that they're – like. Edwards just showed nothing last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you wanted him to have a breakout game here or do something, and it just – he was just on the field. That's it. He was just on the field. He wasn't standing out. He didn't find some highlight that was like, yeah, there's the Bryan Edwards I know, you know. There's that 19-year-old breakout that just was crushing people. No, I mean, it just – he's just there.
It's And the thing is, with those guys that don't show anything, like you were saying, it historically rarely pans out that they do much. I think, Antonio Brown back, you know, way back when, did nothing his rookie season, but became Antonio Brown. But that's the exception, not the rule. I mean, the only guy I mentioned this on a recent Trey Addicts podcast. I think the only guy I can think of that did next to nothing his rookie year in recent memory, and really did something significant was DJ Chark in year
exactly
two.
The name that popped up. Yeah.
I have trouble thinking of anybody else that was, you know, as bad as saying Edwards or Nikhil Harry were, who wasn't even as bad as Edwards, in their rookie year. And really did something going forward. But Matt, you have any, you basically agree with that line of thinking, or do you still have hope?
I still have some hope that he could end up being the possession receiver, but I just don't know how valuable that is because the possession receiver is Darren Waller, said. And also, I think we forget that John Brown is in town, and not that he's, you know, I know he's a 30-year-old wide receiver, maybe 31 years old at this point, but, you know, 2 years ago, he was a top 20 fantasy wide receiver. Last season, he missed half of the season and was on pace for basically about the same stat line as he had in 2019. So I don't know if there's anything left there. There was some reports that Edwards is ahead of Brown in camp, but he's somebody that is going to take some production away from both of those two 2020 rookies, I think.
And then Renfro's still there.
Yeah,
and Renfro's getting targets, and it's like it feels like they just want to spread their targets around. Outside of Waller, they're just going to work it around.
And Drake, don't forget about Drake.
Lining him up that wide.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to the TA6 trade that we had. And this was actually Russ who made this trade today, which was Trey Sermon, Cortland Sutton, and a 22 second for Allen Robinson and a 2023 first. What side do you think Russ got in this trade, Justin?
No, he got Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
He did not.
Oh, wow.
He traded.
That is surprising.
A-Rob and the 2023. I was shocked. He had to send this to, because I'm not in TA6, and he sent this over to me, and I'm like, what the hell did you do?
What is this off-brand crash you're doing out there, Outhouse? First of all, you lost the trade, and you gave away the best player? Your guy? I don't understand.
He once told me that he valued Allen Robinson more than DK Metcalf when we were trying to make a deal in TA8, so I have no idea what he's doing with this trade.
I don't get it. I don't understand. Okay, so what does everybody think of this trade?
I'll go first on this one, which I agree with you. You said he lost the trade. I mean, maybe Courtland Sutton in a 2022 second is Allen Robinson. I don't even think it is enough for Allen Robinson. But if right. you want to give him that, okay. I'm not giving up a 2023 first for Trey Sermon anyway. Even if you call the other part a wash. Yeah, I mean, Allen Robinson is a locked-in wide receiver one almost every year, regardless of his quarterback, yeah. unless he goes down with a torn ACL or whatever it was that year. And, yeah, I mean, I like Courtland Sutton. I'm not a big Trey Sermon fan. I think they're just – I think the 49ers produce a good rushing game, but it's so, you know, back and forth on who it's going to be. Is it Mostert? Is it Sermon? Is Elijah Mitchell going to pop up at some point? Is Jeff Wilson going to come back in October?
You know, Wayne Gallman's going to be the guy.
Yeah, it's going to be a different guy every week. So I'm not a big Trey Sermon guy. I have hopes for Sutton. But he's got Locke and Bridgewater as quarterback. Allen Robinson and the 2023 first are probably the two best pieces to me in the deal, and that's what he gave away. So that's my thoughts on the trade. Sorry, Russ.
Yeah, no, I agree. You gave away a receiver that's going to, you know, be top 10, top 5 maybe in terms of target volume in this season, and potentially another wide receiver one or running back one in the 2023 class. And I think Sutton is the second best wide receiver on his team. So, yeah, I don't know what you're –
I don't feel maybe, like you got –
I think this was an addict trade, dude.
Yeah, I don't feel like you got any value for, like, okay, I got to compete this year. I need some points. You didn't get points, you know, because I strongly feel that Allen Robinson outscores Courtland Sutton by a significant margin. Easily. And we don't know when Sermon's going to be on the field actually producing, you know, points that are going to help you win. You know, like, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I will say I questioned him when he sent me this, and all he said, he just said, not sure why I did it, just kind of did it for the hell of it. So, yeah, basically an addict trade.
Did he do this Saturday night while he was drunk at the expo?
No, he did this today. I think maybe he just wanted to give us another trade for the show. I don't know.
He was desperate to help us out. That was nice. Thank you. Thank you, Outhouse, for the material.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And give us a chance to bash you a little bit. Okay, now we'll get to the onslaught of TA9 trades. So the first one, this actually, I think all of these happened, I think, within the last couple of days. I think this one happened yesterday and everything else happened today. Justin Fields and Andy Dalton for Daniel Jones, Corey Davis, a 22 first and a 22 second. So a lot going on there, Matt. What do you think?
I'd take Fields by himself for the entire package. Throw Dalton on the other side if you want to, and I'll take
Dalton
Fields.
Dalton has no added value, yes.
Yeah,
true. I mean, maybe you pick up – maybe you're lucky and that 2022 first gets you Spencer Rattler or Sam Howell or one of these other guys that might be competing for the top spot. But I'd just rather go ahead and lock in the asset that we know is – I guess we don't know that he's going to be very good, but I know that he's better than Daniel Jones, and I know that he's better, more valuable than Corey Davis. So I'll just take the quarterback that got drafted this season in the first round.
Yeah, and if you look at it, I do think the value isn't necessarily horrible in that Daniel Jones is any starting quarterback that you're pretty sure is going to start the whole year should be worth a first. So Daniel Jones, that's basically two firsts and two seconds, maybe, if you call Corey Davis a second for a guy that was drafted in the early to mid-ish first round this year. But I'm with you, Matt. I don't really like Daniel. And that reminds me, when I saw this, I wanted to get this out of the way when we talked about this. Is, and this is a total tangent that has nothing to do with anything. But people, you know, who listen to me on here, like Justin, and I know he likes to make this crack that I liked Daniel Jones and Drew Locke as my quarterback. I do not like those guys as my quarterbacks. I am not a Daniel Jones guy. I like undervalued quarterbacks.
No, I say you like Ben Roethlisberger and Philip Rivers and Drew Brees in the past. Those are your guys.
Yes.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I'll take older guys. I have plenty of Brady. You know,
No, you like the nursing home guys. I understand this.
Yeah, I also like some of them. I mean, I've gotten my fair share too at this offseason too. So, he's a guy who's going in that 15 QB 15-16 price range.
Yeah,
I'm willing to pay that much. I'm just not willing to pay the QB 5 price range. But I just wanted to mention that because I think that the guy who did this, he I'm friendly. I think this was Ryan. You know, I'm friendly with him, and he mentioned he thought I went like this. I think because he was trading down. He traded the Justin Fields. I was like, I don't know about that because I'm not a Daniel Jones guy. Corey Davis has like no ceiling. He's basically a floor play. So like I said, I think the value isn't awful, but I just don't like the players he got back. And I would rather hold on to Fields there as well. You on that side too, Justin?
I love Justin Fields. So
I love Justin Fields, which factors into it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been Justin Fields as the 102 all offseason. So it wasn't that, you know, what he did on the field on Saturday really made a big difference for me. I just think he's a good player that's going to be dynamic in the NFL. Like you said, the value isn't terrible. You know, clearly Corey Davis is worth more than Andy Dalton, or that second is worth more than Andy Dalton, whatever, because Andy Dalton is, you know, he's Alex Smith next year. Like, he's just in a booth probably.
Yeah.
So then it's like Daniel Jones, a first and another piece for Fields. It's fine, but I just don't want it because I think that besides the first, everything else is declining value. Like, you know, Daniel Jones is not good in my opinion. And Corey Davis is just a guy, you know, where I like him on my team as like my wide receiver 5, but I don't necessarily value him as something as a significant trade commodity to be acquiring.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think we're all on the same side there.
Yeah.
And I also agree with you too about Justin Fields 102. I to me, he was almost 1B to Lawrence's 1A.
Right.
I've mentioned this before, I think, on this podcast and on Junkies, that I tried to watch more film on these guys this year than I have in the past instead of just taking other people's word for it. I love what I saw from Fields. And I just I know a lot of people love Lance because they see him as more of a runner. But I have trouble trusting a guy, valuing as high as everyone else is when we've seen 17 games in college. So at a lower level too. Let's touch on that with you, Matt, too. Are you a Lance over Fields guy?
I'm Lance over Fields. There's probably some bias there. I'm a Packers fan. I hate the Bears, yada, yada. I just, again, I am certainly no film scout. I have been through a semester of Dan Hatman's, oh my God, I can't believe I'm blanking on the name of it now. Scouts, whatever, the Scouting Academy. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm okay at it. I'm certainly not an expert at it, but from what I've seen from the two, Fields has got the great downfield accuracy. But we know what wins fantasy games, and that's on the ground. I think that once Lance gets in there, he's going to be a threat for like Lamar Jackson level rushing numbers, doing it in a different style than Lamar Jackson does. But in terms of the numbers he can put up on the ground, I think that is within his realm of outcome. So I think it's 2A, 2B, you know, pick your favorite flavor. I certainly don't have a strong preference. If you offered me a second round pick on top of on top of Fields for Lance, I would certainly take it, that kind of thing. So it's not a strong preference. I just like Lance a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's crazy or anything. I'm just, I'm more of a Fields guy. And like you, I definitely do not consider myself anything close to an expert at watching film, but it's something I'm trying to do a little more and get better at. Okay. Next one's pretty interesting. Justin Jefferson and Drew Locke for Zach Wilson and Javonte Williams.
So a 2-for-1 trade. Got it.
I like that. So, Matt, what are your thoughts on this one?
This one's really tough because it's like you said, it's Justin Jefferson for Wilson and Williams, in my opinion. So, man, this one's really, really tough. I think I would take the shot on the two pieces because you're getting the two more valuable pieces from a positional scarcity standpoint. But it is really hard to send away. Click that X to send away Justin Jefferson. But I think if gun to my head, I would take Wilson and Williams.
Me
Justin,
too.
What side do you think I'm taking here?
Oh, we clearly you're not taking Zach Wilson.
Yeah, so I'm not taking the one with the supposedly more valuable quarterback. And I'd rather get Justin Jefferson. And I agree with what Matt said, though, about the positional scarcity. That is a good point. And receiver is very deep, as everybody says. But Justin Jefferson's right at the top there. And I think he's going to see an increase in volume as Thielen declines, which is what you're looking for. He did what he did last year was on not a ton of volume for for a guy who did as well as he did. I think he only had like 120 targets or something like that, which you don't usually see as good of production as we got from Jefferson with that few targets. And yeah, I don't like Wilson. And this is basically Justin Jefferson, even if you ignore the whole Drew Lock for what, two mid to late first, I'm not sure I would have traded him for that at any point. So I'd rather have Justin Jefferson.
That's fair. But now that the players are like the names are on the players, I think I'd take Wilson and Williams. I mean, what's that like the 107 and 110 if you were looking at a rookie draft right now ish?
Well, we know that, I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me directly right now, unfortunately, but we know that historically quarterbacks, first round quarterbacks in dynasty leagues, especially in super flex leagues, even if they have a bad season in year one, they go up in value. They go either hold or go up in value in year two, right, no matter what they did. So that's one thing. You're going to get an increase in value there. Javonte Williams, if he takes over Melvin Gordon, you're going to get a huge value increase there. And Justin Jefferson, you know, people are already valuing him as a dynasty wide receiver one. So, I mean,
all he has to do is have like a handful of those Daniel Jones games like he did his rookie year, where he was terrible for 10 games and great for four or whatever, and shot up in overall ADP. I mean, just it went from, you know, nobody wanted him until the second round of a super flex rookie draft to he's all of a sudden, you know, a top 12 or 14 QB just off of three or four games. You know, it doesn't take much hype to get a QB to rise.
Totally. And Justin Jefferson says he's already the dynasty wide receiver one in most people's eyes. Like, he doesn't have really any room to go up, but he certainly has room to go down if he was to get hurt or Kirk Cousins underperforms. There's a million reasons why Justin Jefferson
catches 70 balls for 1,200 yards instead of 90 for 1,400 and 11 touchdowns.
And he treads water. And if Wilson does have a big season, automatically just by himself, he's going to be valued higher than Justin Jefferson in a super flex league.
And I think we're going to see Javonte Williams gain value just based on the fact that Melvin Gordon's going to be gone. The perception that he's got the backfield to himself come February, you know, even if he has to play in a split backfield this year, it's going to be one of those situations where you're looking at this huge value boost based on situational change. Go ahead, Matt.
Sorry about that. I just say you are looking at basically, you know, potentially, like, what does Justin Jefferson cost you right now? Are you going to get three firsts for him? I don't really know if many people are paying three firsts for a non-quarterback in a super flex league at this point. And so if we just, you know, realistically put a value of two firsts on him, and Wilson is a quarterback, so he's going to be worth two firsts if he does anything. And Javonte Williams is a starting running back in a good offense, he'll be worth two firsts. You're looking at it like two firsts versus four firsts. And then we're completely discounting Drew Lock in this scenario, but I think that's probably fair. And
it's probably warranted.
That's also assuming that both of those guys go up in value, which we have no idea that they will, especially, like I said, Zach Wilson, who I threw up a little in my mouth when you said he might be valued higher than Justin Jefferson. But at any point, if he has a big season, he will be. I think a big season is very, very, very unlikely. So, if you change this to one of the top three quarterbacks, that's easy. The other side to me, but Zach Wilson, I just hate Zach Wilson too much. I don't know, but
if you change this to one of the top three quarterbacks in just in value alone, he's worth more than Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. You know, I would agree with that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we didn't think Justin Herbert was going to be a quarterback five in dynasty 1 year after he was drafted either, but here we are.
That's true.
Of course he did have a record setting rookie season, like the best rookie season ever.
Yeah.
So there's that.
But he was being drafted even later than Wilson was, if I remember right. He was like, I mean, I think in
TA8,
he went like 1-8, 1-10, something like that in rookie draft.
Yeah, I actually got him at 1-10 in a league. I actually still have him, Justin.
Nice.
The climate change in quarterback landscape this year has affected a lot from startups to rookie drafts. Like, if you're passing on rookie quarterbacks right now in the rookie draft, you're missing out because – it's just the position that can gain value the quickest, you know?
Yep. Okay, so we'll go on to trade number three from TA9. Michael Carter in a 22 first for Aaron Jones. This one's pretty easy for me.
It's easy for me, too. What do you think, Matt? Easy for you?
Absolutely easy.
Yeah. Okay. So we're all taking Aaron Jones and going, why do we care about Michael Carter?
The fourth round. I actually do like Michael Carter.
He's fine. He's gonna get.
We also like Joshua Kelly last year, and we liked. Anthony McFarland. And,
if you don't like Zach Wilson, you can't like Michael Carter that much, because if you don't like Zach Wilson, that offense is going to be terrible.
And Zach Wilson, through his collegiate career, was not somebody to check down. So if Michael Carter is not running deep downfield, and they haven't the Jets offensive staff have not changed the way Wilson is going to play, then where's the dump offs coming from?
Right.
So we can move on from that one. It's Aaron Jones. It's Aaron Jones. Okay. The next one.
I really hope we're not making other people feel bad. I don't know.
That's not the intention.
I'm sorry if I made you feel bad.
Does sometimes. Don't worry about it.
I know you've made me feel bad on here before, Rocky.
Okay. Irv Smith for someone's entire 2022 draft after the first. 2022, second, third, fourth, fifth. I'm curious your thoughts on this one, Matt.
Flip a coin. I mean, I've said this on a couple other pods, and the study's a little bit outdated at this point, but last season or the year before, I think it was last season, I did a study on tight ends. And if you are not the first or second option on your offense, you're not going to be a top six tight end. And to me, that's where you got to be if you're going to be a difference maker at the tight end position. And this is a 1.75, so it's a little bit different. But Irv Smith is not in any scenario going to be a top two option, I think, in this offense.
No.
And the way we've had some Tyler Conklin those two might continue to split targets. So, I don't know, flip a coin. I feel like I would just take the draft picks unless I'm counting on Irv Smith to be my starter in 2021.
I think I agree with you, Matt. I've kind of cooled on Irv Smith. I was a big Irv Smith guy. I just, the volume isn't necessarily there in the Minnesota offense. Cousins is pretty efficient, but he's got, you know, Thielen and Jefferson. And I just don't see Irv Smith commanding a ton of targets. And like you said, he needs to be one of the top two guys to really be significant, or he's just in that tight end, you know, 5 to 15 range where they're all the same guy, basically hoping to score a touchdown. And I'd rather just have the picks. The fourth and the fifth, even maybe the third, doesn't really matter. So it's basically Irv or a second and a third, maybe. So, Justin, you on the same side?
Irv Smith.
Really?
Taking Irv Smith. Yeah, because I think that he's going to be that guy that gets 75 or 80 targets this year. He doesn't need a ton. But if he gets that, catches 50 balls, maybe 650 yards, he's a startable tight end in a 1.75. You know? And I don't know that I'm going to get a starter out of any of those picks in 2022, the second, third, fourth, or fifth. Certainly not the fourth and fifth rounder. I mean, those are I'd almost rather not make that pick, those picks. Time out and let it go, because I don't want that guy, you know, the fourth and fifth rounder on my roster. You know, it's like, well, how deep is my taxi squad?
If Tyler Karp is in your league, you can trade those fourth and fifth. me. But just to put a finer point on the tight end thing for the numbers, 96%, and that's all but one tight end from 2015 to 2020, who were not a top two option on their offense, did not finish. 96% of the first or second options on their team finish as a top six tight end. The rest, 4%, that's all you have outside of that. So.
Yeah, I'm certainly not expecting Irv Smith to be a top six guy. Like, you know, if he can be that tight end 9, 10, 11 range, I know there's not a huge separation between that and the tight end 15, but somebody's got to start these guys.
True.
So, you know, it doesn't bother me to be starting him.
And move on to the next one, which is a little bigger. Then Russ was involved in this one. I'll tell you which side he got afterwards. But Adam Thielen, Gus Edwards, 2023 first. For Mike Evans and Chase Edmonds, Justin, thoughts?
I'll take the Thielen, Edwards, and 2023 first side, because I just don't know that I trust Chase Edmonds to be anything. I love Mike Evans. I think he's great. But I think I'm going to get similar production for the next couple years out of Adam Thielen, and I get that 23 first. And that 23 first to me is huge. You know, I mean, if I'm looking for youth, well, I'm going to get the production for the next couple of years, and I get more youth than Mike Evans come 2023. So that's where I stand on that. How about you, Matt?
I think you maybe convinced me. I was going to say Evans at first, better quarterback. Edmonds is going to be a starting running back, but Edmonds might produce just as much as Gus Edwards does this season. And you're right about the difference in production between Thielen and Evans. I think it's certainly maybe not negligible. I think Evans will outproduce Thielen, but I don't think it's going to be enough that you'll necessarily notice week to week. Except for, those Evans like massive 3-4 touchdown games that he sometimes has. But taking the youth there with the first and the fact that I think Edwards and Edmonds could be, from a production standpoint, relatively close, I think you convinced me. I'll stick on that side. Yeah.
I won. And we would ask Rocky, but he's still on his pee break. He'll be running back going, stop talking about it. Everyone's all high on this 2023 class, and why not take the easy reset, in 2 years and still have, I don't know that, like, if we're talking Thielen and Evans, a point or two a game, I guess is where I'm looking at. You do get the huge boom games with Mike Evans, and we all love those, but I think that James Conner cuts into Chase Edmonds' workload more than a lot of people think. For as long as
I agree. And also, the only ascending asset in this whole trade is the first. So
yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
Right. I think Rocky went to the opposite end of the house, so we'll come back to him. Let's go to the next trade. It's another lots of pieces, lots of good players, it seems like. All right, we got Aaron Jones, Kareem Hunt, and Elijah Moore, or Jonathan Taylor, Gus Edwards, and Jarrett Patterson.
I'm going to take the Jones side again, just because I think you have three pieces that are going to help you this season versus one and a half pieces, depending on how you're valuing Gus Edwards. And I mean, right. Jarrett Patterson is probably just
a piece to throw in.
Just to make the trade even so that somebody doesn't have to cut a player, right? So if Elijah Moore is everything we think he's going to be, both from the pre-draft process and what he's been doing in camp, then this is a slam dunk, I think, for that side. The running backs are obviously older than Taylor, so you don't like that as much, but I still think Aaron Jones is going to be fine for 2 to 3 seasons, and probably the same for Hunt. And if you get a wide receiver too, if he levels out as a wide receiver too with Elijah Moore, then I think you've made money on this deal.
First, I'd just like to say, Justin, I appreciate you moving to the next trade, even if I did have to get called out on my bathroom break there.
We've been trying to stretch it. We've been talking about 23 first and Evans versus Thielen and James Conner.
I'm in my basement. I have to go up 2 flights of steps to get to the bathroom.
Because you turned your camera off, so I wasn't sure if you were squatting right where you were.
Yeah, it's been a while since we called me out on a bathroom break, so you might as well do it this week.
It was a long one. We got through it. We both got through ours, and I was like, well, all right then. Normally outhouse would carry it, but it's like, well, here we are.
Yeah, Russ can ramble with the best of them. He makes it work during my bathroom breaks. But
all right, so touch on this Aaron Jones and Jonathan Taylor trade, and then we'll go back to hear your thoughts on Thielen and Evans.
The Aaron Jones one, I pretty much agree with Matt. I love JT, but you get Aaron Jones, all three of those guys are potential starters this year. I think Elijah Moore can be a starter this year, especially if you're in, start 10, start 11, something like that. And you're getting a young piece in a Moore to kind of offset the more win now pieces in Jones and Hunt. I like it. And I do have a little worry that JT, I'm not the first person to point this out, but a lot of people have mentioned that JT had kind of the same thing that David Montgomery had last year, where he took advantage of a really great schedule down the stretch. I think he's good. I definitely think he's better than David Montgomery, but we'll see how good he does. Marlon Mack's back. Naheem Hines is going to be involved. So at least for 2021, you're really making out with the Aaron Jones side.
Yeah, I don't like to say, they beat up on a bad schedule, because that's what they're supposed to do. And if they beat the hell out of a bad schedule, if they go up these teams and just stomp them, I'm fine with that. So
do you like Montgomery then?
I think Montgomery's fine. I think he's kind of that Melvin Gordon, where he wasn't great his rookie year, and then he came into his own, and now he's going to be a solid.
So you think he can RB1-ish?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think he's got that in his realm of possibilities again, depending on what Tariq Cohen's role is. Is he going to get passing game work still, or is it going to go right back to what it was, where he's, basically, you know, irrelevant in the pass game. So if he still gets 60, 70 targets, sure. So that's to be seen. I wonder what Cohen's role is, because Cohen wasn't good in the pass game in 2019. He was just there. I mean, it was like something like
he got a lot of targets and catches, but he was not efficient with those catches.
No, it was like 4 yards a catch or something. It was terrible. Yeah. You know, you might as well just run the ball. So
yeah, but yeah, I mean, I'm with basically, I guess, the crowd, the consensus. So I see Montgomery as a solid RB too, but I don't see him as anything like what he ended up as last year. I don't think that's repeatable for him, but
yeah, I don't know that we expect RB3 out of him, but
well, yeah, but I don't know if he ever gets in the RB top 12 again. But anyway, did you have any thoughts on the trade before we, I guess, go back to my missed bathroom break trade?
I mean, I'm taking the three players versus Jonathan Taylor in this particular one, and I like Jonathan Taylor a lot, but that's just that trade right there can make you a win now, you know, roster just by getting Aaron Jones and Kareem Hunt. Because I think Aaron Jones and Jonathan Taylor are a wash in 2021 as far as production goes. I mean, I think that you're going to get similar production out of them, considering that the offense is so good that in Green Bay that you're going to have, you know, so many touchdown scoring opportunities that, you know, and then Kareem Hunt just stays on the field on third down.
Right. And on that last trade, well, actually, since we've acknowledged my bathroom break multiple times, I'm just curious, which side did you two take?
I took the Thielen Gus Edwards 23 first.
I leaned towards the Evan side at first, but then Justin convinced me, so I took the Thielen side.
Now
as well.
I'm sad I missed that because I leaned towards the Evan side as well.
You want to hear the argument?
Yes. Yeah, sure. Well, okay. I'm sure that the people listening will love to hear you repeat it, but sure.
I'll make it short and sweet. Thielen and Evans over the next couple of years are probably close enough, and then you get the reset at 2023 for the first. So because I think Gus Edwards and Chase Edmonds are a wash. So you already get the youth in 2023, and you get the production from the players right now.
And the only ascending asset is on that side.
Is on the 23 first.
I think this is a yeah. Well, this one's weird because of the Adam Thielen and the 23 first both on that other side, because it looked more like a kind of a points type deal to me. But except that Adam Thielen's on the one side who's also points, but Russ.
Rocky, did you mute yourself?
Yeah, I can't hear him.
Yep, Rocky, you're muted.
I hit my mic cord and it screwed me. this has not been a good last 10 minutes for me here. Mike, I the Mike Evans side is the side Russ got, is what I was saying. And I think he was trying to get the points here. And I think there's a slightly bigger difference, I think, between Evans and Thielen than you do. You get a couple extra years, too. Not that Evans is young, but Thielen's, what, 31? 30, 31?
Yeah, my thought was that you get the reset in 2023. So you get the first the new player then to replace Adam Thielen.
Yeah, I can see that.
I
don't really have a problem with either side.
Yeah.
I think we're heavily discounting the effect that a full season of Antonio Brown might have on both Evans and Godwin, to be honest with you. Over the last half of the season, you know, Antonio Brown was pretty darn good, and now he's got a full season under his belt, a full offseason with Tom Brady. So I just think there's – I don't know. I don't want to make the too many mouths to feed argument, but I think that he's going to hurt the production of those two more than we think he is right now.
You know, Thielen outscored Evans by a point and a half last year.
I was just going to say, though, Thielen
very touchdown dependent, but
yes, was starting I guess Evans fade last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that
14
it was that.
Touchdowns.
Yeah, but how many hold on, I'm pulling this real fast. But you're talking about 74 catches in 15 games, so it's probably about the same as what you're expecting from Evans. Yeah.
That's true.
He averaged Antonio Brown averaged almost eight targets a game last season, had two games of 13 and 15.
It could impact for sure the volume.
Yeah. I think it's close either way, and I'll throw Russ the solid because I dissed his other trade.
So let's on a quick tangent, who do you guys think is more affected by Antonio Brown, Godwin or Evans?
I'd both, I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
I know it's cheating, but I just think I don't know. I think it's both, unless you just want to say that I don't even know if you can make the argument that Mike Evans is a better red zone target than Godwin is. You know, I don't know if you can make that argument. So.
That's the one thing I was thinking, that Evans was a little different from the two other guys, and that he's more of a big body jump ball.
6'4", body control guy. Yeah.
Red zone guy. I mean, Russ has made the joke that, you know, he was the goal line back early in the season.
Yeah.
He had a couple of games where he had like two catches like for two yards and a touchdown. So I think maybe if I'm going to pick one, I'd say Godwin, but Matt's probably right. It's probably both, and all three of them probably are in the wide receiver two range if at best.
Yeah.
And even if that is true, then, you know, Gronkowski is always going to be a red zone threat, and he was, you know, kicking off some rust last season and the season, and he's got a full year of conditioning and all that kind of stuff. So it's a tough one. I just think Brown's gonna hurt
back too.
OJ Howard's back off the Achilles, you know. Yeah, it's
Geo.
a lot of things there. Geo.
Yeah, Geo. There you go. That's all the talk right now. It's a three back system. Okay, cool. Did anybody really invest in this backfield heavily anyway?
See the best play there is Geo get Brady.
Right.
Okay, so that finishes up all the trades. So we went pretty long here. I don't know if I'm going to get to 90 minutes. Russ, I always make this joke when he doesn't host because he always likes to go 90 minutes. But I'm going to finish up here. Justin, even though you're not technically the guest, you're not on here all the time. So if you have anything you want to plug, I want to let you do that before I get to Matt here. Do you want to plug hot sauce or anything else?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm on the Dynasty Hot Sauce podcast with Larry Monkey, and actually we have the Coming in Hot Best Ball Draft coming up this Saturday, the 21st. We'll be live on YouTube, so y'all check that out. Be a bunch of folks you guys know, and we're going to be scorching our mouths with hot sauce while we draft. So, yeah,
that should be interesting. I did not see it last year.
It will be explicit. Do not come and watch with your children, or if you do, don't complain.
Is anything with Larry not explicit?
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
Okay, and Matt, Justin, first I want to thank you for co-hosting with me this week. I really appreciate it with Russ out.
You know, I was glad to take over during your pee break, so.
Yes, I appreciate it. We had to mention that one more time. and Matt, thank you for coming on this week. This is a lot of fun. Just would give everybody your Twitter handle and everywhere they can find you.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me on. Always happy to chop it up with some football talk. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Price FF at DLF. All my work is over there, dynastyleaguefootball.com. The DLF Dynasty podcast with Ryan McDowell and Dan Myler. I think I'm still on Dynasty Game Night. Rocky, I think, kicked me off the show. But you can occasionally hear me over
we'll bring
there
you
as
back
well.
As a guest eventually, Matt.
That's fair. I think that's it.
Okay. So that means I got to finish up with our stuff here, and I'm hoping I don't forget it because I didn't type it on the sheet. Russ is at Dynasty Outhouse. I'm at Dynasty FF Addict. You can follow the pod at Trade Addicts Pod. Also, make sure you're following and subscribing to the DAP Network at DAP_network. So you can see when Trade Addicts usually doesn't go live, but Junkies and Fantasy Timeline go live every week. You can see those if you're subscribed to the YouTube. And you also, if you're subscribed to the podcast feed, you get that and Trade Addicts, and also Get Real with Casey Kasem, which is awesome. And also have to plug ffpodshirts.storenv.com. You can get all kinds of shirts from different podcasts, obviously all the DAP ones, and there's also other ones on there, Dynasty Vipers, I think FF Intervention. Russ knows them better than I do, a lot of them. The Patreon, make sure you subscribe. If you like what you heard, make sure you subscribe to the Patreon. There's different levels. You can get in the Cool Kids Club, like we talked about earlier. We had a great discussion there that we brought up on the pod. Occasionally, some of the people from the Cool Kids Club end up on the show, so that's fun too. That's at patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. And the shirts, I almost forgot to mention. All proceeds do go to charity. I think until the end of August, we're still doing just Fantasy Cares, and then I have to come up with something for the next 2 months. We're switching it off every 2 months. I think that's everything. Subscribe, rate, review. Hopefully I got everything, Russ. Good night, Justin. Good night, Matt.
Good night, Rocky. Night, Matt.
Bye, guys.